it's starting to tick off.
So
we're on. I'd like to call the Historic Preservation Committee meeting for Wednesday, April 24th, 2019, to order. The first order of business is a roll call. Capuchano Simmons is excused. Fowler?
Here.
Fredericks?
Here.
Juno?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Ginrich is not here. Ruff? Here. The next item on our agenda is to modify and adopt our agenda for this evening. Any changes, Trevor?
Nope.
Any comments from the committee? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion to approve it.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes from January 23rd, 2019. That sounds like a long, long time ago. Wow.
Make a motion to approve.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number four, announcements. Trevor, do you have anything for us?
Don't have anything related to historic preservation, but related to village matters and bulk pickup and brush pickup resume as normal in May, and then also the Zimbaldi should be breaking ground Friday or early next week. So.
How did the book sale go? I didn't go, but I know the signs.
They were up by a third, I think, in profits, is what I recall.
Was that the first one, or did they do this all?
Was the second one, Jim? Or?
Oh.
Do they have a drop-off spot if you want to donate books?
I know who stores the books. Yeah, I don't know. Does she collect them then, too? Take her? Okay.
Did it make quite a bit of money?
That kind of coincides or closely with the one in Brown County.
Yeah.
One, you know, with
the library.
With, yeah, the big one at the library, you know, which a lot of people go. I don't know if that helps or hurts having competition. It's fun to go. I go every year, at least once.
Yeah.
Except this year.
If you have books you want donated, you can contact me. I know
okay.
Judy that Jim referenced doesn't have email or anything, so I can get a hold of her to go.
Are they supposed to be historic books or any kind of books? Oh, it's just a book.
Yeah, any kind.
Oh, okay.
I have one as well.
Yeah.
On May 18th, it's a Saturday. Brown County Trust for Historic Preservation is having its annual meeting, and we'll be taking a private tour of Hotel Northland. And anyone here is invited as well.
Bobby, what was
the public is invited. Pardon?
What was the date on that?
May 18th at 10:45 a.m. at Hotel Northland.
So if we wanted to attend, we should just go with that at that time.
Let me know.
What was the name of the organization? I'm sorry.
Brown County Trust for Historic Preservation.
Okay. Well, probably be a nice tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else? Otherwise, we'll go on to item number five, public appearances. Anyone like Jim? If you want to talk on something that's not on the agenda, otherwise we'll get to you in a couple of points here.
Jim O'Rourke, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. Just wanted to give you an update on the pump house, the 535 Green. They got electricity is up and running, and plumbing and heating should be going in about a month, next month. So that's going good. They just replastered the inside, so it's nice and clean. Nice, clean, industrial kind of look. And you're more than welcome to peek in the windows if you're ever down that way across from Zesty's. And then when Howard talks, I do have some maps of Howard's and Sunlight Park with some historic maps and possible walking tour kind of things. So I'll talk about that one, Howard. Thanks.
Item number six, action regarding approval of proclamation recognizing May 2019 as Historic Preservation Month. I think we had a proclamation in our packet. This is similar to prior years, I assume. I didn't read every word, but there are, looks like the same number of whereases, and you know that. So this is an action item for us, I guess, to approve.
I would make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? So what we're doing is approving that that the village board sign this, that the village president sign it. Mm-hmm. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number seven. Discussion regarding 2019 Wisconsin Association for Historic Preservation Commissions Awards and Conference Recap.
Yeah, so as I was discussing with some of you as you were walking in, a couple weeks ago, the village was invited to take place in WAPAC's annual conference. The conference was funded through some foundation and allowed for speakers from North Carolina and West Palm Beach, Florida, to come in and discuss a lot of different topics related to historic preservation. It was very informative, and they said that they were going to make the slides available on Wisconsin Historical Society's website. So some of those I do want to share with you at a future meeting. Just kind of go through and do my best to give a summary of what they presented, because I do feel like it was that informative. But in addition to that, they also did, WAPAC did their annual awards, and we received this one here. It's in recognition of our efforts towards historic preservation for not only doing the intensive survey that Bobby was part of, but then also continuing those efforts in listing two municipal buildings, one private residence in a district, and now working on our second district. So it was pretty neat to be recognized for our efforts. Along with us, in other categories, they recognized Hotel Northland for their work and Pete's Garage for their work as well. So.
And the city of Green Bay.
In the city of Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
The Press Times, the new newspaper, was there, and they did have the article. And Bobby, a nice picture, is in it. But, so that's essentially the gist of that. Bobby, I don't know if you want to share anything else.
No, they had a lot of really good recommendations for commissions and some of the things I think we could add to the agenda for the future. I'm not sure. Do you have the committee list? Is this my last meeting? Or do I have a year yet?
You have a year yet.
Okay. Good, because then I can put them on the agenda. I thought I was going to have to pass them off to somebody. But they talked about having work plans versus just having our intensive survey and developing a work plan for different initiatives, having an annual reporting process so that the residents kind of know what we're doing and why historic preservation is important and the economic development that it brings to the community. And then they had a couple policy additions that were intriguing. And I wanted to talk to Trevor to see if that's something that we could implement. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that would be for a future meeting.
Any other comments? Congratulations to us and the village. That's nice.
It was really nice of them to nominate us, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't solicit this, did we? I mean,
no. Someone else nominated us.
Yeah, she chose us to nominate.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. We'll move on to item number 8, discussion regarding 2017 Wisconsin Act 280.
So I forwarded this to the committee back in February when I received this. This letter is a policy interpretation from Wisconsin Historical Society regarding the 2017 Act 280. Essentially, the Act was an alignment with national standards. So I'll read here the line that was added to the state statutes. In the repair or replacement of a property that is designated as a historic landmark or included within a historic district or neighborhood conservation district under this section, the unit of government shall allow an owner to use materials that are similar in design, color, scale, architectural appearance, and other visual qualities. So essentially what that means is if a property comes before us first, a certificate of appropriateness, we are not charged with making that property owner then replace exact material for exact material. There were some communities at the conference that saw this as a potential threat. However, both the speakers that were there nationally and then representatives from Wisconsin Historical Society saw this as a chance to continue to preserve what we have. So I have some more props here, aside from just this. This is slate tile roof from our community center up on Webster. This is very expensive and it lasts forever though. But it's still very expensive, very hard to find a maker of this anymore. So in the event that we would have to replace the roof, which might be coming, I wouldn't even say it's in the near future, but we have started to do our homework just in case. So this would be very expensive to replace. They do make some artificial stuff that from the street view may look similar. This would, under this statute, in my interpretation, would not be the same. Because although it looks the same, similar in color, in architectural appearance, it's not the same in scale. So if you can see this is much larger and you would be able to tell the difference versus this. So if they made this in a smaller size, this would technically be allowed under this statute. So it allows buildings to be preserved and to have the same similar appearance that they originally had, but then also being cognizant that not everything can be replaced. You know, we lose every year more and more tradesmen that are able to replace certain features on buildings. In the case of this slate, sometimes it's very expensive or just hard to find. So overall, in the general historic community, professionally at least, they view this law change as favorable, although they didn't necessarily seek for this change. They don't see it as threatening in any way. So I guess that's just that. That's that in a nutshell. I'm sure we'll come across it eventually. But if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
I can see the benefit it's a financial burden, and someone might say, okay, fine, the heck with it. If you take my, I have to repair the roof, and I can't put anything on it that meets the standard, so I guess you can take me off the register or whatever, because they don't have a choice. It's a way to find a way around an obstacle that's insurmountable.
Right.
And I think that was the problem with our home. I think the architectural, whoever the team was that looked at it, thought that some of the appearance wasn't exactly the same. But part of it is you can't find those craftsmen anymore that can do the same type of architectural design that was done back then, number one. And number two, some of the materials are even better than they were back then.
Yes.
Because we had some pillars that you wouldn't even put up again because they wouldn't subsist in this weather.
Rotten earth.
Yeah,
not
they just
very
wouldn't
enough.
Rot.
Right.
And so I think some materials are better now than they were back then, and others may not even be architecturally possible anymore. There are no craftsmen around anymore.
Right.
We'll do that kind of work. So I think it probably is a plus that we made that change.
Gives people another option.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I read something about Notre Dame Cathedral. How they weren't sure they could ever find trees big enough to restore the roof, the central pillars of the roof, because they don't grow. They've all been cut down, and again, some of the craftsmen that found them, and so I don't know. It's just interesting that they'll have to find something that's close.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they said they could do it in 5 years if they did it exactly the way it was before.
Mm.
And they had all the drawings, and it's been studied forever and ever, so they know exactly what's there, what was there before. So, sorry, I got off. I was thinking about the timbers that may not be standing anymore.
Right.
Close enough to where they can put them where they need them.
One more thing I'll add in the bottom of this letter. It says. One of the very last sentences, it should clearly state that it review this question and give. That's not it. Bear with me one second, I'm sorry. Basically, I know it was in here, but they mentioned it at the conference as well. This is repair and replacement only, so it's nothing that, if you add an addition to a building, that's obviously something separate. And at the conference, they use the word conjectural features, basically giving a building a false sense of history. So I believe there was one property on Miramar Drive that was originally in the intensive survey labeled as a contributing property, but then after examining it further, it was determined that it was added on, and at the addition, they matched it so closely to the original that you couldn't tell where the addition began and the original ended. And in the historic preservation world, aesthetically that looks nice, but in the historic preservation world, they do not like that. Because it gives a false sense of history. It gives a false sense that that's how the building was back then. They would rather maybe that addition be offset a little bit or be of a different material so that you are physically able to see to the entering eye that does not belong. Mm-hmm. You said it can be kind of conflicting sometimes because visually you like one thing, but then historically it should be another way. Pretty interesting.
It's kind of like our house. We could tell where the addition was because the floor starts sloping and it sank. So, anything else on that? Item number 9, discussion action regarding history summary of Sunlight Park neighborhood. Maybe I should start off by just explaining what I did and why. mainly because I had some free time because I was recovering from my hip surgery. I went into the Press Gazette archives and I made a copy that I passed out of a couple of examples of old ads, you know, just so you get a sense of the kind of material that I read through to write what I did. And the front one is just one of the maps, the flat maps. And so I just went through them, and then I just started writing stuff, and I ended up with this history that's attached. And it can be changed or redacted, right? But again, it's just something that I put together. I was curious, personally, because I live in the neighborhood. And then I thought, if we're going to recognize the centennial 100-year anniversary of the Sunlight Park area, that we should maybe just know something about it, its history. So that's kind of how I ended up with that little 2-page article. I sent a copy to Trevor. And we got to talking about how we might support the centennial in the summer, knowing that they have a neighborhood picnic every summer, usually in August, I think. I've never been. We were always on vacation when they had it. But that would be a good time to acknowledge, you know, and maybe have something that we could hand out. Trevor mentioned that there's a summer intern coming who might be able to spend some time putting a brochure together, which might use something that I wrote and something that we might collect from anybody else. Or I was going to try and think it'd be nice to have a couple of old photographs, either of the original homes or of... I'd like to have a photograph of the farm before anything was on it, you know. But again, see if we can find something. Add to it. And so that's something that we could do. And I talked to your neighbor, Kay Clausen, mm-hmm. and Kay's an active mm-hmm. participant in that. They were just getting ready to go on vacation, but she said, oh yeah, that's great. We'll put it in our flyer. As they go around, they put it in everybody's door, not their mailbox, in their doorway. So everybody knows about it and says, oh yeah, we'll write that. Tell me what to say and I'll write it and put it in, so we'll get publicity. So everybody on those two little streets will be notified anyway. We talked, Trevor and I, about anything more formal than that. And I don't know, it's a picnic. I mean, we don't need to have a speech or anything. I don't think that, you know, kids are playing and people are drinking and having food and socializing.
I know in years past, and I did talk to a few neighbors about the summer picnic, just because we talked about it at the last mm-hmm. meeting, mm-hmm. and quite a few are gone during the winter, mm-hmm. so they said, well, let's talk about it when we get closer yeah. to the warmer months. But I know in the past they've done things such as, you know, if your last name is A to F, you know, you should bring, you know, something to pass in order,
yeah.
and you know,
yeah.
another group brings snacks, and someone else brings desserts or something. So they've done that.
Yeah.
And then there's usually more children on the different streets now than there had been for a long time. So there's someone that's willing to get some games going and put up volleyball nets or whatever. So
yeah.
And then a neighbor you had spoken with. I know they do go door to door and pass out.
Yeah, Kay and I think Julie and Ted.
Yes.
Were involved in that and
Ginny Waters. I think.
Yeah. They're folks who live nearby.
Yeah.
And so I think they'll be okay for publicity.
Right. When do we meet again?
We meet in July.
Oh, that would be timely because I'm thinking it would be August to give everyone notice.
Yeah, that would be a goal then, would be to have something that we could review.
Right.
And I was thinking, I mean, you can always just have a table with some photographs or maybe one of the mm-hmm. plat map, maybe blow it up and have it, you know, and Jim's got some stuff he's going to share with us in a minute. Too, you know, just and the other thing for the this is for the picnic, which we don't need to, but it was maybe involved having our Holloway police officer come with his squad car, open it up so the kids can see it. But that's just another attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So, Trevor, do you have anything to add before I? Quit talking here.
No, I think that sounds like a nice time. And Howard and Cecile too. We can communicate back and forth and just update them in the community, sorry, the committee in July.
Right.
As Howard mentioned, we have a intern this summer that I think can help with putting together a brochure if the neighborhood wants it. Be something neat to pass out or to have just on file.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think as far as we would promote maybe the history on our social media, but not necessarily the picnic event. We just want to keep that with the neighborhood.
We don't need the whole village coming.
Free meal.
Yeah, free meal. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's right. Yeah, you were going to have some engagement with like Facebook or Instagram or something, and then maybe a link to the village website or something like that. So we should be able to publicize it. And coincidentally enough, a trivia item, the A&W Root Beer Company is 100 years old this year also, which I found out because I went there for lunch. So we're in the good company. And you know, the Packers.
Yeah.
1919.
Oh,
yeah, so
does anybody know when the first lot was built up or anything?
Maybe Jim knows. What I read was 1932. But Jim has have other information. We'll maybe now would be a time to suspend the rules and.
So it looks like it was platted in what
1919. And I know they had trouble. You know, getting started because they didn't have city services. There were no, you know, water mains and storm sewers and electric and all the things that they promised, you know. And electric lights and telephones, no less. But, you know, it was a while to get that, I guess. But so Jim had handed me something that he's going to share. And Jim, I sent a copy of this, my little write-up to Jim also, if for no other reason, just to kind of check to see if I said anything that's clearly wrong.
Looks good.
Because all I did was print off copies from the archives and then sit there and write, take things out that I thought might be of interest.
You did
this?
I did it.
I do these things in other ways, historical stuff, so doesn't mean it's anything special. It just means that it's easier for me to make stuff up. I mean, read it and then put it together. And it can be shortened, or like I said, if Jim, if you want.
The courthouse was somebody's phone holder. Yeah,
that's
six phone holders.
Yeah, the extensions were pretty simple back then. Yeah, my phone number was Humboldt 5729 when I was a little kid.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, I sent this to Jim, and he thought that it might work nicely with the project that Rita Houston was working on, and which was the history of the golf course, and maybe put a couple of these things together in their summer newsletter, whatever. So I'd like to entertain a motion to suspend the rules so we can get Jim involved.
Motion to suspend the rules.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I talked to Howard, and I put Howard's thing on the back. I just made your font bigger and put it into two columns, and then space and a half.
So if you run out, if you need extra space, feel free to redact some of that.
No. I thought it was good. So you got one.
I got one. Thanks.
This is just kind of a sample of some of the things you can do, you know, with the mapping. It's available online. There's the 1938 map. I'm sure a lot of people have seen the, this is off the county. And I was able to just spot the original homes that were in there. I just put circles on them, transparent circles on them, so you can kind of see where the oldest homes were on the subdivision. The yellow, the red dot, that's where Vince Lombardi built his house in 1960. And then the green circle was the clubhouse for the Fox River Country Club, which was the precursor to what's now Oneida. You know, in the 30s, they wanted to have an 18-hole course, so they built Oneida. But, you know, the original country club in the area was the Fox River Country Club. And then I left the circles in place, and I just swapped out the maps. If you look at the next pages, that's what it would look like in 1960 with the same circles, and you can see the development going on. And then, you know, following that, I went to 2017. So those are all maps off the county website with just some additions. So that type of thing can work on any neighborhood, but it's good to start with something like Park because it's so interesting and so easy to document. After that, Rita Houston wrote a story on the Fox Country, on the Country Club, and that was from our newsletter. And following that is Howard's story. And what I would suggest is for the brochure, you know, there are a lot of people who can write letters, write stories, and you should make maybe a handful of complete document sets, you know, with all the stories that people can buy for $5 or $8, whatever they are, but you also make them available online for free. So, you know, I go into a lot of groups, and that's kind of the way that we do it. So if you want the hard copy, you know, they're $8. But otherwise, they're free, and here's the, you know, you just buy a domain, and then you just have, you know, for the neighborhood group, and you can just go there and download them. So that would be the best way. You give people a hard copy if they want, but it's free to everybody else. Okay?
Jim, yeah. Were you thinking about, you had mentioned that you were thinking about this material for the Historic Alloway Society summer newsletter?
Yeah.
Would you envision, or were you thinking about having that available at our picnic? Or,
yeah, so or, what or, would the or ideal would
I'm
be
not sure
Rogers,
how you would,
Roger, Howard's story, would we feature that in our summer newsletter. And so that would be the key story for our summer newsletter, and we'd have the newsletter available out there. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we get a lot more information than everybody wants to see, but some people love it. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, like all the ads. If you've gathered all the ads in one place, there's a handful of people who will just mm-hmm. read every line of it.
I've got 15 or 18. I quit after. I was joking with you maybe that any 12-year-old could have probably used that software
sure.
system easier than I could. I was having trouble getting clear copies. I had to print a copy and then scan it and email it to myself rather than just save it to a file. I don't mm-hmm. know if it's a copyright thing with the Press Gazette or my inability to find a 12-year-old to show me how to do it. So I had to do a workaround. So some of my copies are a little fuzzy, but I'll work on it.
And then once you find out that something's available and somebody sees that that's available, then they can do additional research and know what to look for.
Yeah,
but otherwise they wouldn't know where or what to look for.
I sent this to one of my neighbors, and he called last night. He said, well, they have a property in town that they were thinking about selling, and they wanted to know, what was that, the Brown County GIS, you know, because I mentioned that to him.
Right.
You know? And so people are interested. I sent him a copy.
Right.
It was Gene Van Der Perren and Bill, you know. And so, I think people, and he was really interested. That's why I put in that last little paragraph about how the plat, the original plat, is still used to identify the legal description of properties, you know, because he was asking me, do they throw it out or is it still used? I still use it.
They still use it.
I went down to the Brown County Treasurer's or the Register of Deeds, and I printed out what would be the abstract for a little block that has my house, our house, in it. You know, it's got every transaction beginning with August 19th, 1919.
Right.
You know, so. Interesting.
Well, if you need anything from the Register of Deeds, I have it in with them. My daughter's the chief deputy, so she can help you.
That might be, yeah.
Loves doing this investigation.
Yeah, I went there in person,
and
she took me in the back room, and she did it, but she showed me what I couldn't do it myself, but she looked at the original plat, and she, because I was trying to find out, was having our property surveyed, and I wanted to just see how things lined up historically and kind of figure out when certain structures were built.
I do have a spreadsheet with the street addresses and the year built on them, so I can do that for Arrowhead and St. Francis. So
our house is next to the little circle that's the furthest east, right? Furthest east. The little circle is out there all by itself. That's our neighbor's house. Yeah. And we're in the big, and all those little dots along the roadway are elm trees that grew up to be pretty good size and then all died.
Well, you on there, Katie and Barnard had a couple subdivisions, and Rita, who's been around for a while, she was thrilled when her street got indoor plumbing. So that was about the same, right during the Depression era.
Yeah.
So, very cool. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to take up the rules again.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
Then we have a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries. We're back in business. Have we talked about as much as we need to talk about for now with this, or any other things that you want to add or talk about now, or just wait and see how it develops by July, or what do we think? I should ask if you think it's okay to go ahead and do what we're talking about doing. We don't need a motion to approve the action, but are you okay with something like what I wrote, and something like what Jim wrote, and Rita? Okay. I might take a few sentences off of there that it's kind of redundant. But otherwise, I'd just leave it. I'm not going to add anything to it. I quit looking at all those. That's all they have. Okay. I guess we're ready for item number 10, discussion regarding projects and properties updates. The CLG grant, Robinson Hill Historic District nomination.
I know at the last meeting I said that the nomination should be submitted soon. I'm going to tell you that again. It's going to be submitted soon. And I think it was submitted last week, I believe. It won't be I spoke with the Wisconsin Historical Society. It won't be on the August, likely won't be on the August meeting. It will probably be, earliest would be November. They meet quarterly, so they currently have a fairly large backlog of projects that they're reviewing. So with it being a district this low, it gets pushed back even further because it's a larger project. So the earliest November is when it will potentially be reviewed by the state, and then I think once the state reviews and approves it, then it gets sent to the National Park Service, which they actually have a timeline to review. It's like 60 or 90 days or something like that. So potentially this time next year, we could have our second district approved.
We could have another one of those. You could bring your stepladder and you could hang the new sign.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Anything else on item number 10? Then I guess we'll move on to item number 11, next meeting date and agenda items. And it's going to be July.
July 24th.
24th of July?
Mm-hmm. I think we'll have something about the Sunlight Park neighborhood. Then I also want to, again, I wanted to, if it's okay with the committee, just give a brief presentation. They had several presentations, and what I might do is either pick the most relevant ones to this committee and just break it up over the next couple meetings, the presentation at a time. I won't go the full hour length. I'll probably try and sum it up in 40 minutes or so.
Anything else that we can think of that should be on the...
We have the election of the chair and vice chair, so...
Next time?
Yeah, I think what the tradition is if you're not here, you're going to actually get
nominated. Yeah.
I'll be here.
Yeah. I guess we'll move on to item 12, adjournment. I guess I'll entertain a motion on that one as well.
So moved to adjourn.
We have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Nobody ever opposes it. Now, that's fine.